Thank you, Jesus, for this time you've given us to come here before you, Lord. And I just thank you that your presence is already here, Lord. I thank you that you made a way for you to be here with us, Lord, and us to be with you in heaven, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you will continue hovering and being here, walking among us, Lord. And that the words that you've given me that will go and bear fruit, Lord. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I kind of have a Christmas. I guess we're in the Christmas season, so I kind of have a Christmas sermon. I'm using Christmas scriptures. We'll see how Christmassy it is. I'm going to kind of piggyback off what Mitch taught on Sunday, and Nina did also on last Wednesday. So it's kind of like a continuation, piggyback off of it. So we're at the end of the year, right? At the end of the year, depending what calendar you follow, but here in the United States, we're towards the end of the year. And towards the end of the year, there's a lot of lists that come out, like most popular things that in the year. And I always like seeing those things because they bring remembrance of what happened throughout the year. Like Spotify released that's the music app that I listen to, and they released the songs you listen to the most throughout the year. And it's very interesting looking at the songs and seeing the songs. Then it brings me back to a moment in this year. And I start to remember what I was going through that part of the year, which is it's kind of fun. And Proclaim, our scriptures stuff, tells us like what's the songs we did the most in the year and stuff like that. So we know not to overplay them. There's a few that we overplay, but yeah, it's God's word. It's good. But I keep going like that. Lucy tells me that I do this too much, but it's because my sleeve falls down and it bothers me. So that's, if you see me doing this, I'm fixing my sleeve. But the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, yeah, it's the Bible app that pretty much everybody uses. If you have a Bible app on your phone, it's probably the YouVersion Bible app. And they released their list of the most popular scriptures of the year. And the previous years, it's always been one of two scriptures. Jeremiah 29:11, the one that I have plans for you. And then the other one is John 3:16. But this year, they weren't. It wasn't any of those two. This year, the number one scripture that people looked up throughout the year was Isaiah 41:10, which is kind of like out there. But if you read we read the scriptures right here. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." If we look at what happens in the natural, what's happening in the year, we know that people were afraid this year. And I think this scripture, people looking up this scripture, reflects that, how they were feeling this year. I think that people look up what they're feeling or what they want to know more about, what they need. And that's what people look for, what they need and how they're feeling. And like I said, this tells us that this year, a lot of people were afraid. They needed the strengthening. We don't have to go that far to see when somebody's afraid, see somebody that's afraid, that feels oppressed. We don't have to go that far. They're right there. They also released the number one scriptures of a few other countries. In they released Mexico's, Mexico was Joshua 1:9. And it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Your God is with you wherever you go." I don't go to Mexico I don't go to Mexico, period. But I'm sure the people who do will probably see that a lot of people in Mexico needed this kind of encouragement this year. In Korea, it was Proverbs 16:9. "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." In Iraq, it was this one. 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." All of these scriptures have to do with fear, with somebody, them being scared. Somebody's being scared. Yeah. People all over the world are scared. Like a lot of people focus that, oh, it's just the United States. The United States is just being fearful. No, the whole world is at a point of fear right now. That's what's being generated right now in the world, fear. But there's an answer. There's an answer. Matthew 1:23. Most of us have heard the Christmas story, so I'm not going to totally go into it. But this part I want to focus on. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. With us. God with us. It's kind of funny because Jesus had like a billion names. He had a ton of names. I think he might have a different name for each person. I don't know. And like here we thought Mexicans have long names. Oops. Names are important. Now people use names basically just to identify somebody and maybe make them sound cool. Like, there's a professional soccer player that I found out that his first name is God's Way. And that sounds pretty cool. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Something African. But people just make names just to make them sound good. That's all they do now. Like, my name. Pedro Alonso. It sounds pretty cool. I think it sounds pretty cool. Like, it sounds like it sounds like a telenovela star. But if we look back, I'm not like bashing on my mom and my dad for naming me this. But if we look back at my name, you know what it stands for? My name means lonely pebble. Lonely pebble. Pedro means pebble, and Alonso means lone one, alone. And I gotta say, I do struggle with that feeling, but I know it's not of God. Back then, like even a few years ago, people named their kids as like a prophecy of what they were gonna be. So a lot of people do that now. I think that's the way you should go. But names carry a prophecy. That's the best way I could put it. Isaiah 9:6, another Christmas scripture, says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those are just, what, look, one, two, three, four names more for Jesus. And so I was kind of curious. And so I just looked up different names for Jesus. And there was way too many. I'm only going to go through a very few, very few. One of them was Light of the World. The Lamb of God. The Word. Master. Lord. Christ. The Messiah. Emmanuel. And all those have different meaning. Emmanuel means God with us. We just read that. But Jesus also means God will help. I did not know that. I thought that was really cool. Jesus just means God will help. So when you call on the name of Jesus, basically God will help. You're declaring that God's gonna help when you say something in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. God will help in the name of Jesus. But I want to focus on God with us, Emmanuel. That's going to be the main focus as we go on. And we need to remember this. This is what we need to keep in our hearts as we're going through this next scriptures and basically our life. Psalms 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who," what? "Call on him." To all who call on him in truth. Those who call on him and call on him in truth. This means when you're actually calling Jesus, not when you're stub your toe and say, you know what I'm talking about. When they use Jesus Christ as a swear word. It's not that. No, this is in truth where you really want God, that you really want to go after God, that you really want him to be near to you. He goes near to whoever call him in truth. Those who call him. So we understand that God came, right? That he is here with us, right? And when he was born that day, he brought certain things at a level that the world has never seen before. And I believe once we start living, once we truly start living in the truth that God is with inside of us, that God goes with us wherever we go, once we start living that truth, we'll start seeing the miracles, the presence of God, will start seeing healing, words of knowledge, will start, all those things will start flowing naturally. Once we get that in our heads, that God's with us, that God is with us and his power flows through us. I think we forget that. We say, like, oh yeah, God is with us, yeah. God be with you. God is with us. But we need to understand that God is with us. And he brought a bunch of things at a level that we've never seen before. The first thing that he brought was love. Love that this love such a high level of love that this world had never even thought of. He brought the love of heaven, the whole love of the Father. He brought it down that day. When he was born, he brought it down. He brought that love down to earth. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "See the kind of love that the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know of us is that we do not know him." Another scripture that talks about God's love is John 3:16. I'm not going to go to it, but you know it. 1 John 4:7. It's kind of long. I don't know if I want to read all of it. I'll just go ahead. John 4, verse 7 through 21. It's a little section about God being love. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he had loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sin. Okay, you guys heard that. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know, to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have the confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is also, are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he loved first. He first loved us. And if anybody says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's heavy. But God brought down a love so intense, so the theme that I kept recurring when I was writing this was that God brought things at a level that never been seen before on earth. When he was born, he brought all this from heaven at a level that nobody has seen before. He also brought grace. And the same thing, he brought a grace that has never been before seen on this earth. Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no man may boast. Sin created a gap between us and God. And grace made a bridge, or filled it, whatever metaphor you want to use. But grace filled that gap, or made a bridge, whatever you want to use, and made us a way that we could be close to God, that we may be able to call on the name of God, and he be with us and us with him. Another thing he brought was freedom. And again, freedom at a level that nobody had seen before, nor even have heard about this freedom. He came to give us freedom. And this one, I put it in red letters because it's Jesus speaking. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus said that I've been sent. Jesus said, I've been sent to make free the captives. To proclaim liberty to the captives. And there's other cool stuff in there. Proclaim the good news. Heal the blind. But you were sent to bring freedom. Sin was a chain on us. And it still can be. But now, since Jesus came, that chain has the potential to be broken. It's basically already breaking. You just need to activate it. Who the Son sets free, you'll be free indeed. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free. That's John 8:36. He brings freedom. This next one is one of my favorites. I could teach on this for hours on hope. He brought a hope. He brought hope. And hope is not a wish. Hope is not a wish. Hope is what keeps us trusting in God. Hope is knowing that God is going to fulfill his promise. Hope creates an atmosphere where faith can grow. A lot of you know my story, my testimony, but there's a time where my life was not that great. But I knew I had hope that God was going to fulfill his promises, that my life was going to get better. I knew I had hope because I trusted in God. And hope is different than faith. It's slightly different, but they're different. Hope creates faith. And a lot of people are losing hope. A lot of people are losing hope. That's why the suicide rates are so high right now. Because people are losing hope. But there's hope. You just have to know where to look in the right place. You need to know where you could call, on who you could reach out to, because there is hope. And we could find hope in the Bible. And there's a little funny story about where we're gonna find hope. There's this exercise that we do with the youth sometimes, where we put a random topic. And we look for that topic in the Bible or a word. So pelican, and we'll look for pelican. There's actually a scripture in Psalms about a pelican. And so we look up random things. It's really fun, but what I do with them is to help them learn how to look through the Bible. And they're able to use their phone to look up the scripture, but then they have to look for it in the real Bible. We're going to look for hope in Lamentations, the saddest book in the Bible. And there's hope in there too. I need to go there. In Lamentations 3, if you don't know what Lamentations are, it's basically sad songs. That's the best way I could. It's like funeral songs. I think that's what they name it. That's what it means. So in Lamentations 3, verse 21 through 24 says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. My soul says, therefore I will have hope in him." So in the saddest book of the Bible, there's even hope in there. So there's hope all over the Bible. We just got to know how to look. You just got to know how to reach out. Call the name of Jesus and there's hope. Next one is purpose. When Jesus came, he brought a purpose for us. He came with a purpose to give us a purpose. All of us, at one point or another, you might be in it right now, but all of us, I guarantee all of us have gone through this, there's a moment where we feel worthless, that we don't have a value, that we've all struggled with this, everyone, every single one of us. You might be feeling through it right now, I don't know, but those are just lies that the enemy tries to put in your head to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. He'll put that in your head to make you think that you don't have a value, so you won't be able to fulfill your purpose. So we go back to Emmanuel. God with us. With you. He wants to be with you. So if not, why would he send his son? So first of all, let's go back. Let's think of in the natural. The first time I'm ever going to say that in church. If somebody wants to be with you, what does that mean? They want to be with you. That they have a value towards you, right? If somebody wants to be with you, that person probably values you. Yeah. Right? Right, now let's think of it now in the supernatural. God, the creator of the universe, the almighty God, the miracle-making God, wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. I think that brings enormous value to your life. Basically, priceless. You have a high value in you. You are worth so much. So when those lies try to come in, that you're not good enough, that you are worthless, those are just lies, and you can send them to hell with the devil. God thinks you're valuable, and that should be enough. But there's more. Psalms 139. For you have formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Where I want to focus is here. Verse 14. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That scripture gets used a lot, right? But how many of us actually believe that God made us? Right? Yeah, right. And everything God makes is wonderful, right? It's beautiful, right? It's good. So what does that make you? Wonderful, good, beautiful, wonderful, all your works. You're a work of God. And he's still working in you, so you're going to be even more beautifuler. We all have a unique purpose. A unique purpose that only we can do, only in a certain way that only us can do. We all have that unique purpose. But all of us have a universal purpose too. And that's to make disciples of all the nations. In other words, Jesus is telling us to tell people about him. And teach people how to walk with him. Walk with Jesus. That's our job. That's our purpose. Tell people about Jesus and show them how to walk with Jesus. But then we all have those really cool, unique, I don't know why I did like that. But we all have those unique callings too. And that's between you and God. Peace. He brought a peace. that nobody understands. Jesus, when God is with us, when Jesus came with us, Emmanuel came with us, he brought a peace that nobody understands. That's such at a, such a high level that does not make sense. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Peace is heavy. I think everybody here has something in their life that they could worry about. I think everybody here has something that you could worry about. Anything that something that makes your life crazy. All of us have that. And it might sound crazy, but I don't think anybody's life is more crazy than somebody else's. God does not give us more than we can handle. So right there, nobody's life is more crazy than. We all have different levels of things that get to us, that things that bother us, right? That makes things go crazy. So like if somebody, so like say you had to do my job at the high school. And somebody told, my boss told you that you had to do my job and that you had to build 5 computer labs of 30 computers each by the end of the week. From scratch, you might start freaking out. Because you're like, build a computer? What does that even mean? But to me, that's just a Thursday. Thursday, because Thursday's early release. It's the day I do the most work. But the same way, for me, that's a piece of cake. That's easy. But if I were to do one of your jobs, like if I were to teach sports medicine, I don't think I could handle that. I probably couldn't do one of your jobs to the level that you do it at, because that's what you could handle. Yeah. But if we put out a place, there's going to be things that we can't handle. Also, our words create craziness. Have you ever noticed that people who have crazy lives always say they have a crazy life? Yeah, it's funny, but because it kind of seems contrary. But the thing is, they're proclaiming to in their lives that their life is crazy. Yeah. They're proclaiming it over and over and over and over again. And guess what happens? Crazy, 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 craziness. The enemy is watching us. The devil's watching us. And whatever stops us from doing the work that God has called us to do, he's going to do that more. If you being sick stops you from doing God's will, stops you from coming to church, stops you from reading the word, guess what? You're going to be sick a lot. If your kids being sick keeps you from going to church, doing the will of God, your kids are going to be continuously sick. If you having a bad day at work stops you from going to church, stops you from doing the will of God, you're going to have bad days at work. If being offended stops you from going to church, you're going to be offended, 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 and it's going to stop you. And you can keep going to whatever stops you from going to church, whatever stops you from doing the will of God, whatever stops you from reading the word, whatever stops you from praying. That thing is the thing that the devil is going to use to stop you because he knows it works. Many of you, a lot of you know that I didn't always lead worship. I don't know if anybody of you guys know this story. I don't know why I'm smiling. It's not a good story. But I did not always used to lead worship. Now I lead worship pretty consistently. But back then, I only led worship when Mitch and Nina were not here. And that was like 2 times a year, if even that. But when I was first starting, the first time that I led worship, I had a family member pass away. The first time. And I found out the morning of that I was supposed to lead worship. And I still led worship because I really couldn't do anything. It was an out-of-town family member. Then the next time I lead worship, that I was scheduled to lead worship, another family member dies. So I started thinking, maybe I should stop leading worship. But then the next time I led worship, nobody died. I think a dog died, but that's beyond. I don't know where I was going with that. I feel that if I would have let that stop me, if I would have let those deaths stop me from leading worship, it would be a totally different. I might not even be here right now. I don't know. And those things are going to keep happening. I could guarantee, Mitch, if that cow that was in your way on Sunday, if you would have let that stop you and you guys would not come to church because there's a cow, you're driving, guess what? Every Sunday, there's going to be a cow there. Every time that there's church, there's going to be a cow there. For some reason, that's how the devil works. And so I encourage you, if you have a bad day, and don't feel like reading your Bible. If you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like going to church, do it anyway. If you feel sick and don't want to come to church, come here and get prayed for and get healed. Not hope that you get, not wishing that you get healed. Come here and get healed. Make that declaration. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get healed. The same God that heals cancer, the same God that does all those miracles, that brings people back from the dead, that revives people on their deathbed, can heal the common cold. He can heal a fever. He can heal a toothache. He can heal a stomach ache, a back pain. That same God, a migraine, that same God that heals, that we believe for those big miracles, can do those little things that we don't even think twice about praying for. You don't need God to be your last if he's your first. A lot of us wait for the last moment to call on God. A lot of us wait for that cancer diagnosis to call on God. A lot of us wait for that deathbed, that family member dying to call on God. Why don't you call on God before then? Amen. Have him be your first so he won't have to be your last. Well, I guess he would be your last because if it's his first, there's not going to be any more than that. But if he's your first, that's where it ends. That's that. That's that. It ends right there. If he's first, you don't need a plan B.
That's right.
God does not promise a peaceful life. He promises peace in life. He promises peace in the middle of the storm. And I read something today that it said, fear comes when we focus on the storm. Fear comes when we focus on the craziness. But peace comes when we focus on Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by the prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. That surpasses all peace and understanding. Peace that does not make sense. These are things that Jesus brought with him from heaven. And there's a lot more, but these are the ones I wanted to focus on. And there's another thing. He brought something that a lot of us might kind of just overlook, may not think about that often, is friendship. When you want to be with somebody, that usually means you want a relationship with them, whether it be a friendship relationship or something more. God wants to be with us. In Genesis, it talks about who walking with Adam and Eve? God. So God likes walking with Adam and Eve. All right, with the disciples. Who walked with the disciples? Jesus walked with the disciples. In 2 Corinthians 13, 14, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship is another word for friendship, for spending time together. So who walks with us? The Holy Spirit walks with us. So it's God with Adam and Eve, Jesus with the disciples, the Holy Spirit with us. And guess what? It's the Trinity. All three of them are the same. So it's all God. God is spending all the time with us. He wants to. In James 4, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. To tell you the truth, I only read half this scripture when I was putting it in there. But anyways, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So that basically means if you go closer to God, God is going to come closer to you. So all we have to do is reach out, call on Jesus. He will be with us. God longed to be with us. God wants to be with us. Emmanuel means God with us. And all we have to do is call on him, reach out, and he will be with us. Because it's already done. Now we just need to take that step towards him. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's a commandment that Jesus told us to do. And I teach on this a lot. I don't know why, but I just feel like I do. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Disciple them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and that, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God is with us to the end of the age. Guess what? It's not the end of the age. So that means he's with us. Always to the end. And it's not the end yet. So he's still with us. So we could take all these things. We could take that love, that peace, that joy that he brought through us through when he was born. And we could take it to people. We could take the gifts of the Spirit to people. We are called to do that. And he is with us. And him being with us is not something that I feel like we should hold in. It's something that we should let everybody know, that God can be with you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be scared, I was going to say again. I don't know why I'm using different synonyms, different words for fearful. But God destroyed fear. There's no place for fear on this earth. And we just have to walk in it. We have to walk like God, the all-powerful God, the one who wrote, the same Spirit that rose Jesus is in us. We have to walk in that and walk in it, like seriously walk in it. Not just think about it. We need to walk in that. We need to talk the talk. We need to let it be known that Jesus is the reigning champion here. A lot of us forget, and a lot of us think the devil as Jesus' equal. But he's not. He doesn't even stand a chance. He never did. Like that song says that he has no rival. The beautiful name. And we need to remember that devil is not equal to God, does not have. I think the devil is closer to our power than what we have. But we have Jesus, which even overpowers him. So we need to walk in Jesus. Let's carry that with us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to come here, Lord, and preach your word, Lord. And I just thank you for you being with us, for you going with us to everywhere we go, Lord. And I just thank you that your presence will become to manifest more and more powerful each and every day, Lord, that we will desire to grow more in you, Lord. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.